Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Let's do it.
The next section is 40401, subsection I3, stormwater treatment pond design requirements. This is specifically to remove the requirement for a chain link fence around a retention pond under certain circumstances, specifically regarding the slope of the pond.
It just makes me so happy. I just want to celebrate. You know, like there's so many times government does things that are, well, what's the word I want? Not ideal. And look, we have a lot of local government leaders who do really smart things. You know, on balance, they generally do quite well. It's easy. It's not a job I think any of us really want. Thank God somebody does it. But this is Jared Lowe. He's the assistant county administrator in Santa Rosa County. At the land development code they had last night, the meeting to ratify a bunch of changes to the LDC after the commission that got together and talked about all this stuff. And lo and behold, they're talking about changing the existing requirement to have chain link fences around all your retention ponds. John, how many times have you heard me profanity about that?
We are up to 4,899.
There's no reason they're not needed. I mean, I understand certain holes in the ground, you might need to have a protection barrier around them. Okay. But generally speaking, again, my experience biking in other areas, you go to Baldwin County and you see all these ponds, lakes just look fantastic. They are storm water features, often with fountains and ducks, and you know, they just look great. You can have a bench, you can have a walking path, like you can make them a part of your subdivision. But in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, what we do is we dig a big hole in the ground and put an ugly chain link fence around it, and we make it look just as nasty as it could be. They're all eyesores, right? And so I have been pushing for years. Undo, undo, undo. And then it came to a head recently because the one that they just put in at Sarah, you know, which is close to where I live in the Oakfield redevelopment area, and it was a park, and then it got turned into a hole in the ground, and then it got turned into a hole in the ground with chain link fence around it. And every time I drive on Sarah, I'm like, oh, because they're bad. Okay, so Santa Rosa County was taking up the issue of getting rid of that requirement. Kerry Smith.
I think this is a good one because there's nothing worse than seeing big industrial holding ponds all over the place, especially when I see the one on Highway 90 in my district right there in the front of the neighborhood. It's just so lovely.
Yes, they're not so lovely. So doing something different. Colton Wright?
And I won't ask it to be a requirement, but I would encourage any builder developer if they want to turn those retention ponds into a water feature.
Yeah, I know.
I think that'd be a fantastic
amenity. Yes!
I was fixing to add that in, if you don't mind me jumping in on that. Come back from Orlando, and they had holding ponds out. They had nice, beautiful water fountains there. I mean, it was very aesthetic.
Yes.
So
other people do it.
Like I said, I encourage the builders to let's think outside the box and make something beautiful for the area other than just having the holding ponds stuck there. I'm sure you could probably do that cheaper than you put six foot, eight foot fence around it.
It makes the neighborhood better rather than making it worse. That's right, Bobby Burkett, Kerry Smith.
Well, here's a good example of it. Over in my district, it's a little neighborhood called, well, I think it's in your district. It's on your side of that. It's on your side of Trout Bayou. It's called Eventide Estates. And in Eventide Estates, what the developer did is he made like little swamps with cypress trees. You got cypress knots all in it. You got it's a beautiful little amenity to the community, but it's their holding pond. And it's I thought it was one of the most beautiful ideas from that developer.
And if you want like a local example of this, the one that I always use is off of Olive by Dreamland Skate, which is a county retention pond, a big one, with a walking path and it's for sure a huge, beautiful tree. And like, I think there's a park bench and it's great. And you don't have any fence around it. It's great. You know, do that more, like more of those things, as opposed to like the marketplace, one that's over there on 9th Avenue or 12th Avenue, that was kind of supposed to be like that, but is not going to be like that because it's got the fence. I mean, just It's just such a big difference. So anyway, I am very happy that Santa Rosa County did this. They, you know, went ahead and passed it unanimously, so it's done. They did a bunch of other things at the Land Development Code meeting, too, moving back the setbacks in certain in agricultural communities. They approved the conservation communities. They really beefed up, I think, they beefed up the land clearing process and also the stormwater mitigation. And so all of these things were good. We talked with Jared Lowe about this earlier in the show. If you want to go back and listen to that podcast, it's in the 6 o'clock hour. Go about halfway through, and we went through all of the changes that got ratified last night. But now the next step is Escambia. Escambia, you can do better. We can do it. Look, you've done it before. And now Santa Rosa does it, and Baldwin County does it, and you can do it too, and we can stop making ugly things in Escambia County.
You can do it.
You can do it. Come along. Come along. All right, anyway. And by the way, this, you might think like this is Andrew's doing that this got. No. There were lots of people already working on this. I just happened to also be talking about it on the air. I don't think I get any credit for this in Santa Rosa County. Now, if it happens in Escambia County, I will definitely take credit. Because this is like trying to push a noodle, man. Come on. Noodle up, bro. Let's do it. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. I don't know. It's not as, it just seemed like the thing to say.
Go on. All right. I-10 eastbound on mile marker number 17. That's right after you get onto the Escambia Bay Bridge. We've got an accident. It's off to the side of the road, but that's just causing minimal delays in that area. But other than that, the rest of I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Oh, I shouldn't say this.
What?
Okay, so I criticize Stephen Barry a lot, okay, for reasons, okay? Dear Commissioner Barry, if you want me to sing your praises at least for a day, push this item. You can do it. I will absolutely 100% praise you for doing it.
Wow. That's huge.
Promise.
That is huge.
Promise.
Coming from Andrew.
All right, there you go. 437-1620, 437-1620. What else do we have going on? Oh, if you need to buy a car, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used vehicles. Cars that are, you know, a year, two, three, maybe young, 10, 30,000 miles kind of thing. You're going to be the second owner typically, maybe the third, probably not the sixth, almost certainly not the sixth. And these are cars that they know are going to last you a long time. They warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years. That's all included. No extra charge for that. But, you know, there's a reason that I recommend them. Dave Ramsey recommends them. All the bumper stickers and license plate frames recommend them. They are kind of, they just do it differently. They want you to come back again and again, which means they want to see you again, which means they treat you better. Because they want you to like that. Like, they want you to have such a good experience that you come back. So think of them as your ally, not your adversary, like your guidance counselor for buying a car. Ask them what people are liking, what people are not liking, what's holding its value, what's not. And they will give you good advice. Because they see thousands of cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's open enrollment time for health insurance. Have you signed up? Do you know where? Whether you currently have coverage or not, there are some important things you need to know. Get your questions answered. Tune in today at 10 as Chad PQ from Affiliated Insurance joins the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get the facts and the latest information on healthcare today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When emergencies happen in Florida, every second counts. Beacon keeps you informed. It's the new statewide network bringing official emergency alerts straight from the Florida Division of Emergency Management and agencies statewide. No hype, no ads, just clear, verified updates to help protect you and your family. Download the free Beacon 24/7 Alerts app in your app store. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock.
Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here we go. AK-47, the very best there is. When you absolutely, positively got to kill every in the room, except no substitutes.
Good morning. Are you dancing? I hope you are. 8:20 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew, and happy Veterans Day to everyone out there today.
Happy Veterans Day to you, my veteran friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. President Trump will be in Arlington at the National Cemetery today. He's laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He'll also deliver remarks as part of the official observance ceremony. That's always a beautiful ceremony to watch. An attempt to overturn the right to same-sex marriage was rejected by the Supreme Court. The justices declined to take up the appeal from the former Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis to overturn the 2015 landmark decision. The bid had been seen as a long shot by analysts. Davis received national attention when she refused to issue marriage licenses to a same-sex couple due to her religious beliefs. And Wikipedia wants AI companies to utilize their paid service. Their nonprofit parent company, Wikimedia Foundation, says that the AI companies are scraping their web pages, and it says that companies that pay for Wikimedia Enterprise can help to make sure Wikipedia's resources are not strained.
All right, very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. John, I have news for you out of your town, Milton. And this is not a drama moment. This is just, you know, regular old news. But you know the pink building on, what's the street there? On 90, I can't think of, Caroline Street. Is going through town. You know the big pink building across from the bar that used to be the gas station or whatever? Well, guess what?
What?
Are you going to have boxing classes for adults, too?
We sure will. All right, we hope to see you there.
They're going
to
turn it into a boxing tutorial, you know, fighting training center.
Would you tell me where on Caroline this is?
Yeah, it's the pink building. You can't miss it.
Okay. Are y'all going to keep it pink?
We're not. That's up to you guys. but we don't plan to.
That doesn't really go with boxing, does it?
No, not really. No.
I don't know. Pink boxing makes me laugh a little bit. Stephen Prestestater, that was Kylie McCants, I think is her name, talking with Heather Lindsay, the mayor. They're going to paint the pink building. So it's going to go away. So if you love the pink building, you're sad. And if you hate the pink building, you're happy. But Stephen Prestestater.
Pink building is beautiful. We love that it's the pink building. Everyone knows it is the pink building. But it... would be great if also it fell within the historic district and maybe abided by some of our more historic colors. So
maybe if it looked more like, you know, buildings should look that are not pink in that time. John David Ellis is the owner of the building.
Yeah, primarily we want to continue the work that I've been trying to do with the pink building. I'm going to have to train myself to not refer to it as the pink building in the near future.
Yeah, because if it's not pink anymore, right? The old pink building, the formerly pink building.
We will be repainting the building to be more cohesive with the historic district. Not that we're required to do that, but it seems like a good thing to do for the historic district. So,
what color will it be?
It should be in your application. We picked out a lovely shade of beige called...
Talk about a phrase you've never heard before in your life. We've got a lovely shade of taupe coming for you. Some sweet tan, bro.
A lovely shade of beige called jogging sand, I think. Jogging path. We're gonna...
That kind of goes with boxing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. We're...
So, you know, it's kind of interesting because to me, this is a good example of a thing that is awful. I mean, it's the pink building, people. The thing that is awful when it first goes to that look. But then after, and everybody complains. And then after a while, you kind of get used to it. And then after a while, if somebody proposes changing it, you best not now. How dare you? You're going to make it look just like everything else, right? It's how traditions are formed. It's how attachments are formed. The thing that you hate, you know, the airport noise. Oh, the airport noise. Oh, I missed the airplanes. You know, railroad. Railroad. Oh, can't sleep now because there's no railroad. You know, like it's that way with so many things. You think it's terrible when it first happens or it looks ugly and awful, and then you kind of get used to it, and then you kind of get attached to it, and then eventually you're codependent to it, and then eventually somebody proposes a change. You're like, how dare you, sir? So anyway, the pink building is going to go away, and it's going to become a, what did they call it? Jogging path.
Yeah.
Jogging path, taupe, tan, khaki, brown, beige. Anyway.
Lovely shade.
Boring. Fits right in with the historic character of the area. 825 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
But I do have a suggestion.
Oh, go on now.
You and I. A couple of rounds.
We know why now? Go a couple of rounds. You want to box me?
Yeah.
Only if I'm allowed to kick.
No, that's not boxing.
Well,
do you need some lessons?
I was trained to use my feet, bro.
Oh.
Coach, we got David in the other room is playing the ringmaster, the referee. He's, and fight! Hachime!
That'd be good for charity, man.
Again.
Or radio.
Only, first of all, for points, not for knockouts, and only if I'm allowed to use my feet. Otherwise, I'm not playing this game.
Okay. Why?
You set and the even then, like I'm that. So old, I'd be like kicking you in the thigh. Oh! Kids as high as I can kick anymore. Tell them about the traffic now.
Okay, just one accident on I-10 eastbound, right as you get on the Escambia Bay Bridge, right after the scenic split off there, and it's backing up traffic pretty well. So just be prepared for that. I would definitely take Highway 90 if that's the case. If you need to go eastbound, take Highway 90 and then get back on I-10 at Avalon. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Did you watch Monday Night Football last night? Did you fall asleep? What time did you go to sleep? I know you go to sleep early.
Yeah.
Unlike me. What time did you go to sleep?
It was like 9:30 because I'm like...
Was it still scoreless when you went to sleep?
I'm like not getting any points.
It was the worst game. It was so bad. It was... And I watch games based on teams playing that I like to watch. Like I watch the Rams play.
But you don't do it for fantasy.
No. I don't care about that. I just like to watch... Generally what I like is... interesting plays and good offense. That's what I like. Okay. So a game that's like 3-0 is, I mean, I just want to tear my hair out. But a game that's like 45-38 or something like that's woohoo, that's fun, you know? I don't know how you get 38. Anyway, so, you know, I like to watch the Rams, you know? I'm still a big fan of Stafford, even though he doesn't play for the Lions anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to watch the Eagles because, you know, Jalen Hurts is very fun to watch, and the Chiefs because, you know, I like to watch good quarterbacks and, you know, passing offense. Anyway. This game was so boring, but I thought with Philadelphia, it'll be fun. Oh, God, this was no score in the first half. First time it's happened since, what, 09 or something like that? No score into the fourth quarter. I think they had actually gotten where, they had gotten a field goal maybe late in the third or early in the fourth quarter. Finally, somebody scored points, and then finally Philadelphia made it. I mean, it was literally three plays worth watching the whole game.
Down in seven. To come out to his left. He finds Barkley. One-on-one and a spin move, and Barkley's still rolling. Into Green Bay territory and down near the 36.
41 yards for Saquon Barkley on a catch and run, and then on the very next play.
Right, he gets 41 there, the longest play of the game on either side. Shoulder, pump fake, end zone. It is caught for the touchdown, Devontae Smith.
There you go, 36-yard passing play. So two plays for 77 yards, and the Eagles scored a touchdown. They actually, so that was 10-0. The Packers actually also got a touchdown. Somehow it seemed irrelevant. Even though they got to within 3 points at the end, and they're trying to kick a 64-yard field goal that was out of the range and blocked anyway. But, you know, no, boring game, super boring game. I regret it all my life. I watched this game in about 20 minutes. A normal full game takes me about 45 minutes to an hour to watch when I'm fast-forwarding between plays. This game, so disappointed.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, what is this now? People want to see us box?
Look at that.
Dave Merzen, our good friend Dave Merzen, wants to see us. Larry Downs Jr. does the training. Yeah, I know. No, thank you.
Come on, man.
Love to see y'all boxing for again. I will kickbox for charity, but I will not under any circumstances just do regular box. You put me in there with gloves, and I would kick you with no pads on my feet.
Then I would kick you back.
Because I don't know how to not kick in a fight.
I'll kick you back.
I'm not worried. Anyway.
Oh, you're not worried? Hey, let me explain
something
to you.
Somebody says picture Andrew with boxing gloves on his feet. Well, you know they make them shaped like a foot, okay? God, it's been so long. Man, it's been so long. I'm not looking forward to that. I would not. No, I probably wouldn't do it. I don't know. Against you?
Yeah. No. In elementary school
David
now.
David is shaking his head.
In Texas, I was a champion.
Should I be asking why you want to so bad?
I just think it'd be fun. And then see how you deal with the left-hander.
I have been waiting for nearly 2 years to hit this man in the face.
And I get to do it, yes!
And I finally
legally
don't just get to, I get celebrated for it. tell me more. What time and day, sir?
Charity.
I'm Therese Crowley. The Senate seals the deal, funding the government, with 8 Democratic caucus members bucking the party to reopen. Senator John Fetterman tells Fox.
It wasn't worth the kinds of chaos and trauma for our nation, because I do believe that there is a sincere conversation to be had to discuss those tax credits.
The House votes Wednesday before the government can reopen with a December Senate vote on Obamacare subsidies. But with workers still unpaid, mandated flight cuts jumped to 6% today. 1,200 flights canceled so far. New York Governor Kathy Hochul puts the brakes on a top campaign promise of socialist Mayor Lex Orhan Mamdani, free city buses, saying no, the transit system relies on fares. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy posting nothing in life is free. Remember this next time you support a socialist. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got right now 38 degrees with sunshine in Pensacola this morning. Pensacola police have identified the man that was found stabbed to death Monday at a North Davis Highway business. 57-year-old Dean Edward Chambers was discovered by an employee at the AA Top Shop just after 7 a.m. yesterday. Police say Chambers leased space from the business and was known to employees there. He was found with multiple stab wounds in an office in the building. So far, no arrests have been made, but if you have any information on that, contact Pensacola police or call Crime Stoppers. Downtown Pensacola getting a big makeover. The city council meeting as the CRA on Monday voted 5-2 to approve more than $10.7 million for the reimagined Palafox project. Now, they do still have to get final approval on Thursday. The project would completely rebuild Palafox from Garden to Main with wider sidewalks, better drainage, and brick pavers. The street would be closed for several months starting in January, although sidewalks and storefronts would remain open. Business owners have been worried that construction could drive customers away. The contractor would get a bonus if Palafox is able to reopen by late May. One local veteran making sure Pensacola doesn't forget those who've served, retired Navy Captain Butch Hansen. He spends his time volunteering at Pensacola's Veterans Memorial Park, maintaining the grounds there, giving tours to keep the memory of fallen service members alive. He says it's important to know the sacrifices generations of veterans have given.
A very visible representation of that sacrifice is important for everybody to know. And that's why I'm dedicated to touring students, other community groups, senior citizens, whoever wants a tour of this park to appreciate.
And after hearing that park had fallen into disrepair, Hansen joined the steering committee, got to work. He's personally placed every brick leading to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial and handles the behind-the-scenes paperwork to keep the foundation running. His connection is personal as well. His grandfather fought in World War I for Germany, became a U.S. prisoner of war, and loved America so much, he emigrated here. Hansen said honoring sacrifice is why he's dedicated to the hallowed grounds. A federal appeals court allowing a lawsuit against Saudi Arabia over the 2019 NAS Pensacola terrorist attack to continue. The U.S. 11th Circuit Court ruling that victims and families can argue Saudi Arabia was grossly negligent in vetting the Royal Saudi Air Force officer who carried out the attack. The three-judge panel says the claim is strong enough to overcome Saudi Arabia's sovereign immunity defense. The case now returns to a federal court in Pensacola, where plaintiffs will try to prove their allegations. Well, two people are dead after a mission relief, a relief mission, ended in tragedy in Broward County. A plane bound for Jamaica with relief supplies crashed yesterday morning in Coral Springs. Alexander Worm and daughter Serena were killed. He was 53. She was 22. The NTSB is investigating that crash. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free again. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly now. Highway 90, 29, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John.
Cold and sunny skies for your Veterans Day, starting with the 30s. Highs this afternoon near 55 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 43. Much warmer going into your Wednesday afternoon. Sunny skies, high near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 54. Keeping a warmer trend through the rest of the week. By Thursday, sunny skies, high near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 39 degrees. We've got sunshine here across the area on this cold start to our morning. Veterans Day parades beginning here in just under a half an hour. The downtown Pensacola parade starting in Spring and Main going to Veterans Memorial Park. That's scheduled to start at 9. In Milton, the Veterans Day parade there scheduled to start at 9:30. Of course, Veterans Day ceremonies at 11 o'clock at Veterans Memorial Park. Also, several ceremonies in Santa Rosa County. It is 8:36. Our next news is at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Your money now this morning, taking a look at our opening numbers. The Dow is up 79 points, just under 0.2% at 47,448.41. But we've got a mixed open. The S&P 500 is down about 9.5 points at 68.2309. The NASDAQ down just under 100 points this morning at 23,430.76. Looking at that 10-year bond rate, up a bit, 4.122% today. Gold prices up $14.90 at $41.3690. Silver up 57 cents at $50.88. And crypto is down today across the board. Bitcoin's down $17.50 at $104,324. Ethereum's down about $53.75 this morning at $35.1771. Rest of the crypto market following suit and is also down today. Looking at our financial headlines, Gemini is being added to Google TV Streamer. This time, the AI tool will replace the Google Assistant. Users 18 and older can use Gemini on their Google TVs starting in the next few weeks. Wikipedia wants AI companies to utilize a paid service. Their nonprofit parent company, Wikimedia Foundation, says AI has been scraping their web pages. It says companies that pay for Wikimedia Enterprise, that is, can help ensure that Wikipedia's resources are not strained. And, well, bad news for this Thanksgiving. Turkey prices are going to be up 40%.
That's largely because of the bird flu. The Farm Bureau reports there were more than 600,000 cases in September and expects that number to grow. As of now, that means turkey will cost an average of $1.32 a pound. That's up 38 cents from 2024. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. 8:38. Our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Fall is here, and White Sands Electric wants to remind you it's the perfect time of year for safety upgrades, like replacing that antique breaker panel or adding surge protection. Also, it's getting darker earlier, and White Sands Electric wants their commercial clients to know their 42-foot and 65-foot bucket trucks and their 126-foot boom lift can take care of virtually any exterior lighting repairs or upgrades. Call 850-433-6080 or visit whitesandselectric.com today.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show. They'll be talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, and how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Exciting news. The News Radio Pensacola app has just been updated with a fresh new look. Now it's easier than ever to stay connected with our community. Check the weather. Get instant access to local news stores.
The city appears to be ready to...
Engaging podcasts. And various streaming options. All at your fingertips. Whether you're at home, on the go, or anywhere in between, our app keeps you informed and engaged. Download the updated News Radio Pensacola app today.
From News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Local. Dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, today is not an argument. I know we need something a little bit more calm. A lot of times we have arguments on this segment, the frivolous topic. This is literally just a question for people to answer however is relevant for you to answer. I want to know where you got your musical preferences from. 437-1620, 437-1620. John, you look so confused by this question.
I'm not really, but...
Okay, all right. You just have that look.
No.
You know that look.
She's got the look.
So, you know, and what I imagine is... that if you're like me, you got your musical preferences from somebody. You know, you listened to the music in the car that your mom drove or that your dad drove, and so you acquired musical preferences from them. But you might have acquired them from friends or from being in a circumstance, or maybe you just, you know, you're an independent, forge your own way kind of person. So I'm just curious. 437-1620. What and it might be different things from different people. It might not be like all my music came. I mean, certainly, I don't imagine most people got all their music from one person. But who'd you get it from? What kind of music was it? 437-1620. Give credit for good parenting if you want to say so. John Pickens, what do you got there?
Well, my situation was kind of different. I got it both from my dad and mom. But really big influence on me was being in radio.
Okay.
I have worked in every single format. So I've got the songs that I like. And
alternative, modern rock? You were at TK?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. It seems like everybody in Pensacola but me worked at TK at one time or another.
107 when it was country.
Okay. I worked in the building.
There you go. Literally, I'm the only one. All right, fair enough.
You know, soft rock and gospel music. I mean, just the whole gamut.
Okay, so for you, it was exposure from working in all the different genres.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, fair enough. But some from your parents.
Correct. Yeah.
Parents got you country?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Meg, 437-1620, where did you get your musical preferences from? It could be from different people, different styles or preferences.
Lots of influences. My dad loved Dixieland jazz. Louis Armstrong's with the jazz greats. Billie Holiday. My mother loved Frank Sinatra. And then my sister was
that love was a little bit too emphatic. Like,
oh, no.
Do you
she
have siblings
loved
that
Frank Sinatra. And then my sister was really into Ray Charles, the Drifters, the Platters, that kind of music.
All right.
My brother was a year younger, and he was into hard rock and roll and all of the stuff from the 60s.
Okay.
So then when I grew up, I loved, you're going to laugh,
you inherited all this stuff from all
so
them?
Everything except I fell in love with top 40 radio.
That's fine. I did, too. That's what I grew up on was,
you know,
listening.
70s
yeah.
music, 80s music. That's where I really was influenced. I think so, and I love all that. I love good string acoustic music, America, the Eagles,
okay,
all those bands from way back when.
And I have similar, like, you know, I'd start with the easy one. My mom got me into 50s, basically, you know, Beatles era,
right? Yes,
I in fact, I inherited her 45s and a lot of albums, but she also show tunes. My mom loved musicals. She was a music mm-hmm. choir director, you know.
Oh,
so,
of course, yeah.
And growing up in the Methodist Church, so I get all the classical hymns, you know, from that mm-hmm. angle, and all the classical music from her. And then my dad doesn't listen to music. I got almost nothing from my dad. From my, you know,
I can't imagine life without music.
I know, I'm the same. I mean,
the storybook
of my
life.
He would probably object to that description, but I don't think I'm wrong in saying it. But then they got divorced, and my stepdad actually is who I got classic rock from. Because he had like Pink Floyd and Styx and gosh, I can't even remember all the different things. Three Dog Night and, you know, late 70s, basically late 60s and 70s is what I got from him. And then, you know, pop top 40 from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I had a really good friend in high school who got me into more classic rock, you know, Zeppelin, Van Halen, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I had a best friend who was a skater punk friend, one of my closest friends, you know, wore a mohawk, and he got me into all of my sort of, you know, punk, alternative, that kind of stuff. And, you know, just over time kind of fell in love with that new wave, all of that sort of stuff. And then, you know, eventually later on just kept listening and kept mm-hmm. accumulating and became a Christian, so got into contemporary Christian alternative.
Right.
So just, you know, a little bit of everything. And, you know, I suffer because I've never had somebody to make me love country is the only thing. And,
yeah, I'm
you know,
not a big fan, but I
can help you, my friend.
Writing. I don't want your help. I'm not interested.
I can help
songwriting.
You.
Cosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
I'm here
good
for
lyrics.
You.
Rationally, I know that the values, the songwriting, the variety, everything about it, country should be my jam. And it just ain't. John Pickens has traffic on the five.
I
John.
I did that. All right. It's brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident free right now. Well, I've got I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So we agree on something.
What's that?
I don't
country?
Do country either.
There you go. I mean, I appreciate that it exists.
Oh, I appreciate
that people
it.
Love it. And there are some songs that I enjoy quite a bit. And, of course, you know, news radio wouldn't exist without Cat Country. So I have great affection for the existence of the thing.
Yes.
But as a personal preference in what I am listening to, again,
I do like
that
song
ain't it.
About keying the guy's car.
Oh, Pretty Little Souped Up 409.
Yeah, that, I love that, Carrie Underwood.
That's a good line. All right, so text 437-1620. Somebody says, I got my musical preferences from my dad when I was a kid in the 70s. Somebody says, Daniel says, I got top 40 on my transistor radio.
Yes,
there you go.
Growing up in the 60s and 70s, rock from really good friends, country, but I love all music. And I don't know what the last part is. Okay. Any child of the 90s enjoys a little Dre and Snoop, regardless of what they listen to now, though.
Exactly.
And that's actually, I've kind of mentioned this before, if you care, but for me, the 90s, a lot of the music in the 90s and the early 1000s, it was kind of a gap for me because I was really I was a fairly new Christian. I was into listening to Christian contemporary at that point. And so, like, when the Super Bowl came and, you know, Snoop Dogg performed, and I was like, I don't know any of these songs. But I try to go back and listen to some of it now and acquire some of it in retrospect now because I really do like almost every kind of music except country. And I know so many people who learned it from their parents or didn't. We have our three boys. It's so fascinating. The oldest is totally into, I mean, like hard metal that I don't even enjoy at all, and or EDM and techno. And I'm like, I don't know where you got that from. You know, your video games and YouTube, I guess. The middle is sort of like that, but our youngest loves our music. Hmm. So when he listens to 80s, you know, my wife and I, growing up in the 80s, he knows all the words. He knows more of the words to 80s music than I know. Because he's lucky to have inherited his mother's gene gift for understanding the lyrics, which I have never had. I know all the songs. I know what they sound like. And I know the artist. This is the weird part. My wife knows the lyrics and does not know who sang the song. I know who sings the song and the album it came off of and could not tell you the lyrics.
Boom. Y'all are a team.
We are a team. Absolutely.
Going on a game
we
show
need
with
each
that
other.
Knowledge.
Yes, there you go.
We need each other. Let's see. Carlos says, I was so classically cute. Trained as a pianist from 9 to 17, which is how I loved Mozart, Bach, and their ilk. I'm not sure that Mozart and Bach are an ilk, but it's fine. I learned to love the music of the 50s, listening to the jukebox, my mother's restaurant. Dick Biondi and WLS out of Chicago. That's right. B96 eventually, a different station. I was raising children in the 70s, so my music revolved around Sesame Street and Barney. How many people lost music because they had kids? No, that's certainly true. 85 Babies, not Snoop and Dre. That's trash, somebody says. I love the 70s. It came from my dad. Somebody else says, 90s baby, Snoop and Dre are not what we listened to at all. We lived in the South. It was more Lil Wayne and T.I. We got like a feud. I got a little North Coast, South Coast going on here. A little feud going on. I love it. 849. Anyway, the point is, listen to music. Share your music with your kids. It's part of being a good parent, which makes me feel like a total failure. Two out of the three kids. On the music thing, because they have not acquired the music.
Okay.
And I wish they had.
I wanted you to clarify.
Just like sports. None of them like sports. Not really. Eh.
Well, they see how you watch games in like 10 to 15 minutes with the fast story. Bzz, bzz,
bzz. If they would watch, I would slow it down. I'll make them go to baseball games when we're back in St. Louis. And
right.
Know, just
poor things.
They're athletic enough. They just don't like. Anyway, where were we? Ah, yes. If you're thinking about buying a home to watch your games in, I don't know, to play football in spring. Anyway, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this. They sold 165 homes last year, 3 to 4 per week they sell, which is really good. And, you know, I was talking to her, like, what's different now? What are you guys doing different now? She says, one of the things is we just have enough experience that lets us in this little bit more difficult market where homes are sitting longer means that we get the job done. And a lot of folks, frankly, they don't. I mean, they've had people come to them as their second or third try at a realtor where they couldn't get a home sold. Even, and I know this sounds crazy, but even after they've tried 5 other realtors and can't get a home sold, they come to Christina. Christina says, here's what we'll do. And they get the home sold, and it's all good. You do not have to wait for them to be your 6th realtor. You can go to them first or second. Give them a call, 786-3996, and ask her, you know, what do you do differently? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4330. 33 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
You know, it is funny. Do you have this? This is a little bit of a follow-up on our frivolous topic. When you listen to certain music, do you think of certain people?
Yes.
I absolutely do.
And storybook of your life.
Yeah, my friend Kevin, who got me into punk, who was, I've talked about this before, he killed himself in high school. It was the most horrible thing. But I remember still all the music that I listened to that I learned from him, and, you know, makes me happy to remember him in that way. And that, like Generation X, before Billy Idol was Billy Idol. That's a good example of I got that from him. And I think of that when I listen to certain music that reminds me of my mom or, you know. And of course,
or events in your life.
Yeah. And I think about where these influences came from. And, you know, my dad, we always sing the Hallelujah Chorus together at Christmas.
Aww.
That's kind of just our thing. So I like
all
The Man
recorded.
Of La Mancha is a soundtrack that I got from it. You know, it connects me with those people in my memory whenever I listen to it.
Can you like FaceTime me during that? That way I can
Pass.
Come on, man. I want to be a part of your celebration.
You want to record and embarrass me with it later?
No, never.
I know you.
Never.
I know
you.
We
never do that, Andrew.
You know, actually, you know what? This is actually important. My dad, who is a pastor, he's still ordained in the Methodist Church, but he hasn't, you know, been a preacher for a long time. And he says that one of the things that people don't understand about music is, especially hymns, like the traditional hymns, is that you sing a hymn, like Amazing Grace, a great example, or How Great Thou Art, or, you know, some, you know, Nearer My God to Thee, some very, very, very super traditional, popular, classic, you know, hymn. And what happens is when you sing that as a, you know, an 18-year-old, it has a certain meaning to you. And then when you sing it as a 30-year-old with your kids, it has a different meaning to you. When you sing it as a 50-year-old with your grandkids, and as you've gone through the loss and you've gone through this gain and you've sung it a happy time. And so what happens is when you sing, again, Amazing Grace for the, you know, 4,000th time, what it's doing isn't just, you know, not just worshiping, but you're also connecting the richness of the variety of your history and life and experiences with that song.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, not to, I don't know why we're talking about this, but here we are. You know, a lot of times, like modern churches that just have the newer, you know, more contemporary music, I know people complain about the depth of the lyrics isn't that great, the repetitiveness of the complexity of the music, and all of that's true, okay? But I think what it loses is that you don't have that same durational connection with the meaning of the music and the theology and your experiences and your people over the, and your gain and your loss over the course of your life that you have in a traditional more medium or high liturgy church where you have those classic hymns that every Christian has been singing for 100 years.
Right.
And it's a loss. It's something you miss. And the example my dad always uses is like, you know, when you listen to an 80-year-old black lady singing Amazing Grace, you're listening to a different song than you're listening to when, you know, some 20-year-old black girl is singing the song. They're just, it's just so different. And John, you as
no, I wholeheartedly agree.
And I, you know, I know the meaning to me of some of those hymns is it's just different. And I none of the, you know, very few of the more modern, what I'll call, you know, praise choruses fit that bill. For me, anyway, personally.
Right, because so they're a fad. Yeah, they're fading in and out.
And when you go to a church that does praise choruses, you know, and then they do dip in and do a hymn, of course, they usually don't do the whole thing. They usually do like one or maybe two of the verses. But you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
The irony, though, is for most of the churches that do medium to high liturgy, I don't want to go there. It's like, I respect it. I admire it intellectually, but I, because I don't know why we're talking. I'm in a mood. When I was a kid and I hated singing the long hymns, 4 verses, 5 lines per verse. That's 20. We're only 15% done with this song. Like, that's the calculus I was doing in my head as a kid. Oh, dear Lord, make it be over. But now, but having done it, they're forced into your brain and they're a part of the, like, totemic touch point notion of who you are as a Christian that you grew up with that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it just takes a little painful drilling.
But music is powerful.
It really is. It really is. All right, 437-1620. Supreme Court has done some really interesting things lately. Of course, you've heard the headline. They declined to take up the case to reconsider Obergefell. That doesn't mean that they won't take it up again in the future. That's not a final. That's a no for now. I don't actually expect them to take it up, at least not anytime soon. So that did not come as a surprise. The one that came as a little bit of a surprise was that the court in what did they do? It has to do with whether you can, you know, Biden era, you put in the passports where you can be non-gender. You can put an X in the male, female, or the other. And the Supreme Court basically allowed the change to go through where that's now been removed. And they did not want to take that up on reconsideration. And Ketanji Brown Jackson actually wrote a dissent in this case. And it's not a final decision. This is like so many things that go to the Supreme Court. It's a decision not to what to do preliminarily. Like, there's a preliminary injunction or there's a preliminary we will allow the thing to go forward while it works its way through the court. Well, they have allowed the change to go forward. So the United States is not currently issuing passports that have the X for other gender on them. Now, she writes a dissent in this case, and it's weird to have a dissent on whether they take up or don't take up a case. But she wrote a dissent a long descent, and it was actually quite good. I actually agreed with her, and even though I think the case is right to get rid of the change, I agreed with her because the injury is very hard to conceive to the government if you allow people to opt for another gender. The injury to the people who have been identifying as a different gender is actually, I mean, it's obvious. So they are being injured while the change happens. The government is, it's hard to say that they're not, that they're being injured. I actually agree in the end they shouldn't be allowed to do that gender, but that should go all the way through the regular case, and that should come to an end decision on its own. So weirdly, I agree with her. I think the Supreme Court got it wrong on allowing this to go through for now, although in the end I think they would get it right if they were to actually say that the law allows, you know, prohibits you from being able to opt for other gender. It's a complicated case, and like so many times we talk about this, there's the now and the then, and understanding the Supreme Court takes a little bit more than just the headline reading. We'll be back tomorrow.